today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And that effing beef section with every f***ing Midwestern staring at it. Like, what, make a call, pick it up, get what you want, and get the hell out of the way. You know, it's red. You know?
Yeah, the rain's pouring down, and I drove to where I thought there'd be a tornado. And I was in Annapolis, and sure enough, an EF2 tornado crosses the road right in front of me, rips up a bunch of buildings, and I'm on the side of the road like, "Hi, gang, I'm Fox 5 meteorologist Matt."
The man refuses to be shot down.
Can't say that.
My goodness.
Are you talking about my shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be shot that. I mean, not all the time. I like this shot.
Well, I heard it from you. You said that, because I've tried to get you to zoom out because you're very, very tight.
Nice.
And you said, hey, excuse me,
I'm
could
sorry.
You please mute this man? Okay? I got a lot to say, and I got to say it.
God, you do have a lot to say.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. This is The Mike O'Mara Show. Want to spotlight Sloan, Iowa, Lake Buena Vista, Florida, Topsail, North Carolina, Topsail Beach, rather, Tucson, Arizona, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and Hot Yay. That sounds like something they would have said in It's a Wonderful Life. Hot Yay!
Hot Yay!
In Thailand, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Delighted to be with you. And we're going to do something fun this morning. We're going to talk about weather because we've got a special guest. He's the local meteorologist in Washington, D.C. for Channel 5, WTTG. A studio I've been to. Cool access. I guess I shouldn't tell people that, but it's, I've been there
a
couple of times back in the day. A contributor to the My Radar weather app, as well as NPR, BBC News, DW News, and Sky News Arabia. He is a storm chaser and the author of Looking Up, The True Adventures of a Storm Chasing Weather Nerd. We're talking about Matthew Capucci, who is a fellow New Englander, which I didn't know. When he was 14, Capucci became the youngest ever presenter in the American Meteorological Society. There he is. Matthew Capucci is also a meteorologist for the Washington Post Capital Weather Gang. Is that with John McLaughlin? Oh, he's dead. I'm sorry. What's it going to do today? Can you imagine John McLaughlin as a weather guy? I mean, this is for older people and people not around there. What was the national show?
It was.
The Capital Gang. Wasn't that what it was called? The Capital Gang?
It was the McLaughlin group.
There's a little frost on the pumpkin today. Wrong. Anyway, let's see. Capucci logged over 120,000 miles during his senior year, including travels on the Great Plains to intercept tornadoes. I have... not only do I love talking to people in your field, Matthew, but because you are a legitimate card-carrying meteorologist and what gives you more cred, a TV meteorologist. Mm-hmm. Those are the only meteorologists I care about.
You care desperately.
No, I've sent down here in Florida. I've sent personal messages.
Yeah.
We had Jim Farrell on, who retired down here.
Wink News.
Who is a weather god down here. And Matthew, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's a delight to have you on. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Pretty good to be here.
First of all, I think that this is appropriate when, I think it was last night, I was watching video of a tornado touching down somewhere in the middle part of the United States with snow on the ground, which we just don't see. I think of tornadoes in springtime and summertime. You just don't think that in the winter. But then again, as far as the weather is concerned now, living here in Southwest Florida, where we were just devastated by Hurricane Ian, and then moving forward to these devastating tornadoes that we're getting at an unusual time of the year, and then looking at the West Coast, that with the continuous rivers of precipitation that are coming through out there, this is a weird time for weather. This is a lot of anomalies out there. Would you agree?
Yeah, most definitely. So one of the big factors lately has been something called a zonal pattern or a west-to-east weather pattern. Basically, the jet stream just kind of sweeps across the country. That's been trucking storm after storm after storm into California and the West Coast. And each of those storms has entrained atmospheric rivers or strips of moisture, which have been fire hoses dumping rainfall in the Central Valley and the coastal plain of California, and then feet, actually meters worth of snow in the higher elevations. So they saw 9 back-to-back storms of like 15 inches in San Francisco over the course of 3 weeks, which is virtually unprecedented. Then those low pressure systems moved east into the plains. We've had anomalous warmth over the deep south lately, and as a result, that kind of set the stage for storminess and tornadoes. It's been bizarre. Now, due in part to climate change, we have seen an uptick in wintertime tornado events over the deep south. We're seeing warm sectors, or the sort of warm air mass ahead of low pressure systems, spread a little farther north. The Gulf of Mexico is warming a little bit, adding more moisture to the air, some more fuel to work with. But ultimately, it's been a very bizarre pattern, and one that to me screams more like late March, early April than it does early to mid-January.
And in your opinion, that's directly attributable to climate change, with temperatures in the oceans getting warmer.
Yeah. So when it comes to like summertime and springtime tornado events, we don't have a very strong link between climate change and the tornado events. I think part of the reason for that is because we're actually expecting to see the jet stream weaken a little bit. So the change of wind speed direction with height needed to spawn tornadoes during the warmer months will actually likely come down a little bit. But conversely, in the wintertime, when the jet stream is already strong, you add more moisture to the air, you add more juice, that's really going to just get things going even more. So we've seen this time and time again these past few winters, and it seems like nowadays you just got to expect the unexpected with these winter weather events. So I'm definitely seeing that trend.
Well, I want to talk about your book, which is about a big chunk of your life when you did what I think a lot of people are curious about. You went out and ran toward the tornadoes as opposed to running away from them. I find them to be just terrifying. And when the guys do this, you it's just astonishing that you go out there and you must feel like you can outrun them when you're on top of a system like this. But you do hear examples of storm chasers that did not successfully outrun a tornado, and they even get killed out there. But, I'm curious, before I ask you about storm chasing, how long have you been at it? Because you appear to be... Do you have your driver's license yet?
Just barely. So I'm 25. I'm in kind of an unusual boat. I'm the youngest person nationwide to made it to a top 10 TV market during my time. Which, yes. You know, when you're in Washington, D.C. at 23 doing the weather, you look like you still eat off the kids' menu. And yet you're trying to be taken seriously by the most educated TV market in the country. It's been a bit of a challenge. And so I've honestly tried to craft my persona around that of like Doogie Howser. When I first started TV, I was like, you know what? If I have a face like this, people are going to look at me and be like, he's 12 years old. We can't listen to him. And so I decided to go on there and basically flex what I knew. I was like, if I use all these big buzzwords, all these big terms, but put it in terms people can understand, I'll simultaneously be teaching them and earning the respect at the same time. And
well, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think, and I only bring it in there, your breadth of knowledge as far as what you do. You can watch you for 5 minutes and know that. So it's just having fun with that. But as far as the storm chasing, and the book, by the way, is available wherever books are sold. Looking Up, a great name for the title of the book, The True Adventures of a Storm Chasing Weather Nerd. You actually went out there in the vans and chase them. Tell me everything you know about that. I'm so curious about that part. Getting out there and driving to where the weather is. Just amazing. Yeah. It must have been an amazing experience for you.
Oh, it is. I go it every year. You know, Fox, the local TV station I work at here in D.C., is phenomenal about giving me the month of May off so I can go out and chase these tornadoes. They know it's something I have to do. All my employers, I work 6 different weather jobs. Everybody knows that May is my month to go chase tornadoes, and they either let me work remote or do what I have to do. But it's a lot less glamorous and a lot more sort of rugged than one might think, in that 3 or 4 days out, I can basically know within a realm of a couple states where there might be tornadoes. Okay. 2 to 3 days out, and I'd start saying, okay, you know, Kansas will be the place to be, or Nebraska might be the place to be. Usually the day before, I'm settling on like maybe Southwest Kansas, Northwest Nebraska, whatever. And then the morning of, I'm trying to get down to the county level to figure out where my initial target will be. By early to mid-afternoon, I will have driven hundreds of miles to that target, gas up the tanks, and just kind of sit in the field all day waiting and watching clouds bubble up until I either see one visually or via radar. And I'm like, that's going to be the one. That's going to be the cloud that'll become a storm. And then you drive after it. And sometimes you might pick the right one. Sometimes you might not. You might be going down dirt, clay roads, slipping and sliding all over the place, like a slip and slide. You might be in small towns with a population of like 20 people. You might not see any vehicles for an hour in the middle of nowhere. You desperately plead that the next town over has a Chili's. So at the end of the day, after 9 hours of not eating, you can get something good. And you kind of rinse and repeat. And you're staying at sketchy motels in the middle of nowhere that you're sure are probably haunted.
Are you alone when you do this? Or do you have a gang in a van? I picture a gang in a van with like the grizzled veteran, the hot little lady that's the meteorologist, and
that'd be him.
You see, Mike, this is where we're different. Right? I picture a gang like Scooby-Doo in the Mystery Machine.
With a dog in the van.
Yes.
So do you go out? Do you go out alone? I'm sorry. That's because it sounds like you're saying you go out alone. Like you're alone in this hotel.
Yeah, oftentimes I have to. The reason being, you know, I was a department of one in college. And because of that, I don't necessarily have a ton of meteorology friends, either my age or who had the time to do this. And so that culminates in me driving around alone sometimes. I try to bring friends with me. And I have a friend from school who came out a couple of times. I have a friend from Oklahoma who comes. But they're all my age. And most of the friends who I take aren't meteorologists. So that's even more fun because they have no idea what the heck they're getting into. At one point, I brought a friend who had never seen hail before into a softball-sized hailstorm and shattered out the windshield. And that was enough to sort of make
he's
me like...
He's panicking and you're raising your fist in the air. Yeah! There we go. Is it a small community of a... See, I picture you're all sitting around the same... I immediately turn it into a Hollywood movie.
Twister?
Where you're all sitting there. Yeah, it's Twister.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you got the little things, spinny things up on top of the car, and you're all sitting there in the... you know, you're having a drink after... that was a killer. You know, I'm just kind of curious how that goes down. But it's is a lot of hired guns, a lot of individuals out there rolling around. How's it work?
Yeah, it's one of those things where we're seeing more and more people do it these days because it's getting progressively easier because, I mean, nowadays, even an untrained person can look at a weather model and be like, huh, it'll probably go there. And six times out of 10, they'll probably be right. So if you go to like, you know, the combination Chevron Taco Bell in Shamrock, Texas on a big severe weather day, you'll see dozens of people in the early to mid-afternoon just kind of sitting, waiting, looking at the skies, kicking the dust, seeing which way the wind's going. And one by one, you'll see all these cars leave. Some might go north, some might go south, some east, some west. Will be like, Reed Timmer's going east. Oh, you know, Don's going west. Oh, Hank is going like that's literally how it is. And you might drive for hours, not see anyone, and then pull up in a field and be like, hey, I know him. And but the reason I love it is twofold. Number one, it's just awe-inspiring and beautiful to see these just amazing manifestations of real life science right before you that can achieve these unbelievable feats is something that most people don't even know exists, never mind get to see in person, to sort of dance with Mother Nature that closely. And
right.
I don't want to say tempt it, but to get in that position is just something that can't be compared to. The other reason I love it is because, you know, and I'm not trying to disparage my colleagues, but there are a lot of meteorologists out there who treat weather as a job. They work 9 to 5 or they show up for their TV shift, forecast the weather.
Howard Bernstein.
Yes. Classic Bernstein.
How dare you?
I'm just kidding. Just having a little fun. I know.
There are a lot who show up, do their job, and go home. And to me as a scientist, if you want to be a good scientist, you got to get your hands dirty. You got to go out there. You got to see a tornado. You got to stand in the eye of the hurricane. It makes me both a better forecaster, but also a better communicator because I can empathize with my audience and know what they're going through. Mm. When I'm doing a tornado warning on air, I know exactly what people are seeing. I know which way the clouds are moving, what they look like, the texture of them, how dark it is at their house, all these visual and environmental cues. I know what it sounds like, such that I can say to folks, hey, you're experiencing this. And they'll say, wow, like he knows that. He's more believable. I should listen to him. And it frustrates me sometimes that I have colleagues who have never seen a tornado and yet they're up there preaching about what to do in a tornado warning. Get out of the studio. Go experience the weather. Live a little bit.
Love this.
All right, let me ask you a few tornado questions since we get a lot of them down here. We get a lot of extreme
gentlemen.
He's a grown man.
As far as and Rob, if you've got any questions about any of the other personalities at WTTG, I'd like to know if anybody,
like,
if there was anybody
like
at
Tucker
Channel 5
who has never seen a tornado.
Tucker who?
Tucker
Rob,
Barnes.
You got it. You remember we have a lot of listeners around the country.
Yeah. No, I get the impression that Tucker Barnes is not a get your hands dirty meteorologist.
Okay, is he one of the guys there?
Yes, he's a Channel 5 meteorologist.
The meteorologists I work with are phenomenal. They've all been really good teachers.
Well done.
Tucker actually surprised me in that, you know, you see as a very sort of nonchalant mood on air.
Right.
He is one of the brightest people you will ever meet. He was actually in school for a while, I believe, for a PhD program in meteorology, and then just found a true love doing this. He is so unbelievably talented in his ability to take something so complex and put it into very simple terms. And the whole casual thing about him, it's kind of his thing, just endears him to viewers. And I think we balance out really well in that, like, we've done tornado warning coverage before, and I'll be, you know, spouting off these crazy, you know, like very scientific things. And he'll always remember, like, Matthew, we got to, you know, put it in terms of public can understand. Yeah. And he'll translate back and forth and do like the bigger picture stuff.
Did Steve Chenevy ever, is it Chenevy or Chenevy?
I think it's Chenevy, isn't it?
Did Steve Chenevy haze you when you got there being so young? Did he like give you a wedgie and hang you from the coat rack or anything like that?
So believe it or not, when I first got there, I was petrified to be there because, you know, everyone else is 40, 50 plus years old. And then there's little old me at 23. And he would come to the weather center every day after the shows and just talk to me or ask me questions about the weather.
Oh, that's nice.
And at first I was like, yeah, I thought it was because he was just genuinely curious about the weather. And then I realized, wait, he's trying to make me feel at home. He's trying to make me feel welcome. Just Steve is such an unbelievable class act. He really is.
Okay. So Angie Goff is one of our great friends here on the show for, you know, over a decade. Have you been able to work with her?
Yeah, she had on her podcast recently.
Great.
Angie has so much energy. Like, I don't know how she does it. I'm a busy person, but Angie is like her own little self-contained tornado in the best possible way.
Oh, amazing. And a mom. And a crazy good mom, too, which amazes me. I follow that all the time, you know, with that. As far as your storm chasing that I want to ask you about, Matthew, do any close calls or any, I mean, golf ball, softball size hail would be enough for me. I'm like, thanks. Good night.
Good
going
night,
back to D.C. Thank you. As far as getting towards the cones and getting in the path with all the storm chasing you've done, what are some of the close calls you've had?
So on May, I think it was 23rd, 2020, I wound up in an EF1 tornado. And the reason being was that it was a couple fold. So what had happened that day was that there were supercell thunderstorms, rotating thunderstorms, but they all merged in the evening into a line. Ordinarily, when supercells merge, you know, the tornado threat goes down markedly. And I was about 2 hours northwest of Dallas near the town of Bowie, Texas. Had no cell service because the radar beam was so high, you couldn't see what was going on near ground level. And so it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm done for the day. I'm driving back to my hotel. And suddenly my phone buzzes with a tornado warning. And then a second one pops up. And I see there are three circulations, three embedded areas of spin within like 15 miles, all heading towards me. The road network was such that I didn't have many options, and I could either be in the one small town, Bowie, around, or be on the open roadway outside town with no cell. So I made the decision to stay in town, and I knew that either I'd get 80 mile per hour straight line winds, or maybe a circulation would pass near me. And so I wound up sitting there. The rain came down unbelievably hard, then stopped all of a sudden. So I was like, oh, storm's over. I began driving north, and I saw these weird flashes near the ground. And I realized they were power flashes from something about a mile away, destroying transformers or causing power lines to arc. Then, you know, as the rain has stopped, the power to town suddenly goes out, and then leaves and twigs and sticks start falling down from the sky. And I think, you know, something has to be lofting them up.
But there's so much weather, you can't see it at this point, correct?
So the conditions right now aren't that bad. Like, the wind is mostly still, like, it's gone eerily calm, but sticks are coming down from the sky.
Oh, wow.
Which is a little bit hairy. And then with that, a fog bank rolled in like this. And I realized that's the tornado's low pressure condensing the water in the air. Then winds hit. They gusted to about 100 miles an hour. I parked my vehicle. I could not see a darn thing. Parked my vehicle, kind of wedged myself against the door, got out, and then crouched down in a ditch and waited about a minute for that to pass and just carried on my way.
So you got out of the car?
Yeah. Just I didn't know how strong the winds would be, and I didn't want debris to sort of, you know, collide with the window, collide with me. So that was a little
bit. You gotta get low.
Yeah.
When you're at like one of those Chevron Taco Bells and you see so many people congregating before a big storm, obviously not everyone there is a trained meteorologist like you. Do you ever look at someone and say, he's probably not going to make it through the night, or he's in for trouble, or anything like that? Can you spot yokels that shouldn't be doing what they're doing?
Yes, they usually have a... how do I describe it? I can usually tell based on sort of the vibe they give off, if that makes sense. I can tell when someone has seen it on TV and it's their first time trying it. And, you know, sometimes they get really good stuff. You see a lot of young people out there, you know, young 17, 18, 19, but oftentimes they're really talented because the best meteorologists don't necessarily make the best chasers. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my field, and this will make me sound a little arrogant, if one of my colleagues on any station gives a high temperature for tomorrow and is 2 degrees off, no one cares, no one notices. So I think in the realm of TV, we oftentimes just kind of settle for good enough. Whereas if I'm chasing a tornado or chasing storms, the difference of 2 degrees can mean either a storm forms or you get crystal clear blue skies and no in between, whether or not that cap of air breaks and you get storms of fire. And so I oftentimes find that chasers are some of the best meteorologists, even if they don't have formal training.
That's amazing. Yeah. I want to, you know, as far as we're talking with Matthew Cappucci from Fox 5 in Washington, D.C., meteorologist, who is also a storm chaser. And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't get some tips from you, especially down where I live, where we get so much weather down here. I'll ask you my dumb question about tornado safety first, and then I'll let you give us out in tornado land what we need to do if it really happens. I have always heard that you go to a doorway, or you get in a bathtub, or you secure yourself. And, you know, they pop up so quickly. What are the numero uno things to do? You got out of your car. I might stay in my car
if I was driving. My car. Yeah.
Because although that's, you know, your car rolls, that's what's going to kill you. Give us the safety tips, the most important ones, if you're in the middle of one of these pieces of weather.
Yeah, most definitely. So average lead time, average warning time for a tornado is only about 12 minutes at best. So odds are you're not going to get hours, days of notice. You might know that tornado weather could be coming and you have to live in a heightened state of awareness. But when the actual tornado starts to spin up, you don't have much time. And so the first thing you want to do, if you have like 2 or 3 minutes, I recommend grabbing the bike helmet and then going back inside and sheltering. If you don't have time, you just go straight for the shelter. Lowest floor of whatever building you're in and avoiding windows in the most interior rooms. So ideally, that's a basement. If you don't have one, maybe an interior bathtub or bathroom or with a lot of plumbing around you. Or a doorway, like you said, towards the middle of the house. You could, of course, be beneath a staircase too. If you have extra time, blankets and pillows, because those can cover you from debris. But really just getting as low as you can and putting as many layers between yourself and the outside world as possible. If you're driving, there's never really a great answer. We don't necessarily want folks to be caught on the road. Either park your vehicle and stay put, keep the vehicle on, so that way the airbags will deploy if your car's tossed, or get down into a ditch. And the ditch option is surprisingly good because just below the ground, the winds quickly fade off. You go 10 feet up, the winds of a tornado might be 150, 160. Right down at the surface, there's a brief layer, you know, within a millimeter of the ground where the winds are like 5 miles an hour. So obviously the lower you get, there's that like sort of, you know, limiting layer where you can't drag the ground with you. So the winds briefly go down near zero. And so you just want to get as low as you can.
Wow. That is amazing. Love it. I didn't realize. Get out of the car, get as low as you can, go down into a ditch if you can. And, you know, I've seen them down here. It's scary when you see them spool up and then, you know, one area will get absolutely wrecked.
What about inside a swamp or a pond or a pool?
Yeah, you should probably be pretty good in there. Yeah. A pool, obviously stuff can hit you, but if there's nothing nearby, you might be in a better position there.
Yeah, we have a pool and a pond. Pond would be good for you.
Yeah, I just need a snorkel.
Yeah.
The book is called Looking Up: The True Adventures of a Storm Chasing Weather Nerd. And how long have you been with Fox 5 in DC, Matthew?
Since June 21st of 2021, and it came about in the most surprising of ways. So there are 210 different TV markets in the country. TV market being, you know, one city has their own TV station.
Sure.
Some are incredibly small, like Glendive, Nebraska, or Billings, Montana, or Presque Isle, Maine. And up there, you know, your entire TV station might only be pumped into 14,000 homes. Then you work your way up with time, and everyone starts in a little market and then kind of climbs with time.
Right.
And everyone's sort of end goal is to get to a top 10 market. They have the most money, the most resources, the most viewers. It's, you know, New York, DC, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Chicago, Boston, a couple others. And you might be pumped into millions and millions of TV homes. Most people never get to see a top 10 market newsroom in their life. And my strategy was that, so my initial TV offers were for horrible money. I got offered $28,000 for a 3-year contract. And, you know, I said no. So I came down to the Washington Post. I said, you know what, I'll try to carve out a niche and convince one of the local stations to let me do what I need to do. And it somehow it worked. So I started the Post. People began following me. I did some stuff for WAMU, the local NPR affiliate, and people really liked my style. So I started building an audience. And then during the pandemic, I said, you know what? I could either work remote from here in DC, or I could go chase the storms. So I did, and I cobbled together this reel of me storm chasing, me in front of a tornado explaining a tornado, me in the eye of a hurricane explaining it, and a very sort of folksy but scientific way. And I took all that and I sent it to Channel 5 when I saw a freelance opening and said, hey, I have no experience. You may or may not have heard of me. I do things differently and, you know, give me a shot. And to my surprise, Paul McGonigal, the news director, called me up and said, you know, let's have an interview. And it went so well. There were all these strange coincidences. Like he was in Massachusetts. He lived within like 2 miles of where I lived for something like 15 years. His son is my age and we have mutual friends, like so many bizarre coincidences. And it was just the nicest, most refreshing interview I've ever been in. And 3 days later, he called me and said, job's yours. Which was weird because I beat out a mentor of mine. Like there were 7 other people. And then my first day on the job, I was petrified because obviously no TV experience. Suddenly, you know, the red light's on, the camera's live.
Right.
And I was like, I can't talk about myself on air. Like, I don't know. And instead, there were tornado warnings my first day. So my first time on air was not a gentle introduction. My first time on air was me covering tornadoes. And that was exactly what I needed.
Your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that night, the same thing happened, another tornado. And I happened to be at a restaurant next door, sprinted back into the studio, rolled up my sleeves and went to it. And then about a month and a half later, and this is when things got really good. You know, I'd been there, like I said, about a month and a half. And September 1st, 2021, I had been emailing them days in advance, probably annoying them a little bit, saying Wednesday the 1st will be a tornado day. Like, it's going to be a tornado day. My Scooby senses are tingling. So the day before, I email them again, like I'm badgering, like, can I work tomorrow? Because I had to go in and film promos, but they didn't have a slot for me to work because they were overstaffed that day. So I go and film my promos the next day. I'm like, it's 2 hours till tornado time, 1 hour till tornado time. Like, let me stay. And they're like, Matthew, we're overstaffed. We've told you this. Go away. And I was like, fine, I'll do it myself. And kind of, I should not have been so brash, but I was like, fine, I'll do it myself. And I ran out of the studio, took off my shirt as I'm running down the road, like literally half shirtless, putting on a t-shirt, ripping off my button-down shirt and my suit and whatnot. You know, the rain's pouring down and I drove to where I thought there'd be a tornado. And I was in Annapolis and sure enough, an EF2 tornado crosses the road right in front of me, rips up a bunch of buildings. And I'm on the side of the road like, hi gang, I'm Fox 5 meteorologist Matt. And I sent it back to the studio and I was on air for about 10 hours that night and everyone wanted something. MSNBC wanted something. Inside Edition wanted something. Fox Philadelphia wanted something. BBC News wanted something. And my boss sent me the nicest note at the end of the week and said, you know, we got to talk about your full-time position here.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Yeah, you made your own way.
That's a primer for anybody. And where were you born? Where are you from? Where do you go to school?
Cape Cod, Mass. So I went to a little tiny charter school on Cape Cod called the Sturgis Charter Public School. Great school for high school. Then I went to Harvard for college. And interestingly, wasn't a huge fan. It offered the resources I wanted, and I got my piece of paper and not really looking back. But yeah, I made my own little department of one, a special concentration in atmospheric sciences between there and MIT, and I'm very glad it's done.
Oh, wow. Well, you're a brilliant guy. Congratulations, and, buddy. Yeah. You know, the world is your oyster, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck. And we appreciate you coming on the Michael Mara Show.
See you on the network news.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see you on the network. Really, and really spectacular.
Very cool.
I'm going to grab this book today, Looking Up the True Adventures of a Storm-Chasing Weather Nerd. Matthew Cappucci, really wonderful interview, and we really appreciate you coming on with that. And by the way, if you'd gone to Topper Shutt Station, he would have put you in the trunk of his car and taken you to the Meadowlands and dumped you in a hole. That's what would have happened. Thank you, Matthew. Thanks a lot.
Matt.
That is awesome. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that.
A professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is refreshing to see.
Well, and then, you know, he kind of throws that Harvard in there. You know, if you for those of you with the children that have tried to get into college, just that's the creme de la creme de la creme.
Well, also, what he tossed in as really a sidelight was, well, he was bouncing between Harvard and MIT. So I guess he's got a little something on the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's cool. And you guys get to, so how often is he, Rob, I know you're a Channel 5 watcher all the time. How often is he on?
He doesn't often do the 7 o'clock on hour. He's oftentimes on early in the morning.
7 p.m. or a.m.?
A.m. I'm sorry, because I'm a morning news guy. So normally by 7 o'clock, they have another meteorologist in, but he will sometimes do the mornings and oftentimes in the evening. And he does fill-in work. But when severe weather happens, they definitely have him as a stringer. And Oscar, I spotted him a couple years ago, and I thought, this guy really knows his stuff.
Oscar, I have to ask you, you get a BDK, McCarthy vibe.
True passion.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, true passion. With the passion, and they love
that. That's why I was like, they're going to have him, he'll be a, you know, national Fox News.
Yeah.
They spy these kids that come in there, and... I'll tell you, if I'm working with the guy, I'm like, here, drink this.
I'd say, why don't you go get in a ditch right now?
You think Bob Ryan's watching this and he's like, how the F did this kid get there at 25?
Yeah,
you were in a major market at 25.
That's true.
Yeah, it was a little different. I didn't process it the way
he is massive.
Such a numbers guy.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it reminded me of you know, a little bit of myself trying to get into radio, where everyone said you couldn't get into a major market. So we were on there at 25 on WHFS, and they took buying a billboard on my personal credit card, which I didn't have, you know, any money, and parking in front of the PD's house. That said, the future of HFS is now, and it had Chad and I's faces on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, well, you got to hustle. You have to hustle.
You got to push.
I walked into the production studio.
Yeah.
This is after, by the way, I got a break when it came to getting on the radio. Thank you, Chuck Dickman, who was my very first program director at WOHN out in Herndon, Virginia.
Right.
That was me DJing a MDA radiothon / benefit in the gym. That's how I remember it. Got a chance to do weekends, moved into full time. And then he moved to Annapolis. I got a gig in Annapolis. So Chuck was very instrumental in getting
me gigs. Did you follow him to Annapolis?
Early.
Is that what happened? Or is it just a coincidence?
So it was Jack Diamond was the group program director.
Hey.
Chuck was the AM program director. And that was I cut my teeth down there. But then I remember walking into the production studio where Don Geronimo had just been hired, and Don was one of my favorite DJs, and kind of doing some shtick with him.
Yeah.
I said, you need an agent, and his name is Saul Rabinowitz, and that was the first character that I did. It's like, hell, I got a great deal for you. It's going to be, don't know if you could do that today. You know,
no.
They'd probably be scared of that.
But you would do walk-ons on his afternoon show, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did walk-ons on the morning show there, Charlie and Harrigan, where I did some characters. So I got the gig on the same day I went in. They made me do a promo to be the production director and got the gig. But it's kind of like, if there's a door open or it's a cracked open door, you blast your way through that because you got to. It's almost like storm chasing. That's why he's good at getting the gigs. You have seconds to kind of make that impression. And then it's a little bit, as he described, very much in Hollywood it is. Who you know is big, big, big deal. But that's just that kid's got the resume, too. I mean, that's fantastic to be doing that.
Well, it's one thing if you're betting in fairness, most program directors or newsroom, you know, what managers, I don't even know what their title is, to be honest with you.
News director?
Is it news director?
I believe so.
They would never, ever, let's say 5 years ago, take a flyer on this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah. It, look, local news and national news, level. Top 10 market, you're going to take a flyer if you have vision. So
yeah, and also
gotta, you got to give the respect to was it Paul? What's his last name?
What's that?
At Fox 5, he mentions. I've heard his name a zillion times.
Yeah, McGonagall?
Yeah.
Yeah, but also 5 or 10 years ago, a young up-and-comer couldn't go out and suitably film a reel. I mean, because you didn't have the technology on your phone.
Well, he was broadcasting live on you know, on Instagram.
Yeah, so that's what he did. I mean, that's just, he's using the technology.
It helps the technology is there where you can carry your own.
Yeah, but let's be honest, guys. Were we going to run in front of a storm or go to a radio remote and broadcast live on our phone? I don't know if I had that tenacity.
No, we had MARTI units.
I mean, I knew how to set one up. Maybe that took a little
that's
guts.
Something. Yeah, there you go.
It's fun. I mean, and it's it's a very, he gave a little window into the world of TV news outside of major markets where, you know, you get excited to see these kids down here in Fort Myers on TV, but, you know, they're
working
hustling.
Three jobs.
Yeah.
They're probably working at the Waffle House on the weekend because that's how little they
that's
pay.
How much WHFS paid. That was our first contract.
Yeah.
It was 20, this was DC. Like major market.
And not only that, but a heritage station. Was,
and CBS Radio paid us 28.5 a piece.
Yeah.
But the good news is after 18 months, you were able to pay off the billboard.
Yeah, because it went to El Zol.
The Sun.
99.1 El Zol. Anyway, thank you, Matthew Cappucci. If you're in DC, check him out on Fox 5.
Congrats.
And get the book, Looking Up the True Adventures of a Storm Chasing Weather Nerd. Available where books you show. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll come back with the homepage. And a little later in the program, we're going to talk to Rob about his son.
Yes.
That's always going to go in a weird direction. We'll be right back.
The dog's a ball sniffer because the dog was sniffing Michael's balls.
Yeah, but it's fine for you to go into the bathroom and make sure he washes his balls.
We don't have the balls context.
No, we don't have
the balls context. Is make sure you wash your butt. Make sure you wash your balls.
Does she remind you too?
Make sure you get all your cracks.
That's right.
The ball wash.
Make sure you wash your balls.
Oh, man, the ball wash, yeah.
Haven't
make
played
sure
that
you
for
wash
my
your
kid.
Butt.
Working at the ball wash.
Make sure you get all your cracks.
That's right.
O'Mara Ball Wash, great on the golf course and a lifesaver in the home. For more squeaky clean fun, get a subscription to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and be in the know with the TMOS Bonus Show.
O'Mara Ball Wash, yeah.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. All right, I've got a standard greeting that I give you from my friends at Sleep Number, but want to throw out that copy today and tell you a personal story about me and Sleep Number Beds. You know that Sleep Number Beds, one of our finest advertisers on the Mike O'Mara Show. This is interesting. I have had a balky back. I'm actually going to try to get a medical procedure to get it fixed, and it's been driving me nuts. And the other night, maybe last week or so, no, beginning of this week, I'm sleeping on my tummy the way I normally sleep, and I wake up and I've really been like laying on a nerve all night long. Ugh. So I get in two nights ago to my Sleep Number bed, that has an adjustable platform, which means you can lift the legs up or the head up. And I start tweaking and I start playing with it and I start adjusting it at the different settings. I end up going down to a 35,
whoa,
which gives me a beautiful soft bed. And you would think
you were at like 95 this week, right?
Well, you would think traditional beds will tell you that, you know, hey, you put a board under the mattress, you do that, firm. I'm like, well, let me go the other direction and see what happens. Since I've done that, I've slept beautifully. And it's exclusively thanks to my Sleep Number bed that I was able to tweak it and lift the leg up a little bit, lift the head up a teeny bit, and then go soft on my side. Carla, meanwhile, is her consistent 65 because she doesn't have any health problems. And it works. So it's amazing for me when I can come in here and tell you that last night I probably got 8.5 to 9 hours of sleep with this little head cold. I've been a hot mess this week. And this is all because of Sleep Number. This is why I'm feeling better today. Because not only did I get the great sleep, but not only I was able to adjust it to fix my back with my bed. And that was my Sleep Number bed. And it's just awesome. So they want me to tell you about how to, you know, get your bedroom sleep ready. Well, I used up all the time telling you that I just love my Sleep Number beds with Sleep IQ technology. That can show you, by the way, how long, how well, and when you slept. Remember, keep the thermostat neutral, 65 to 68 degrees, which it was in my bedroom last night.
Yes, nice and cool.
Ideal for sleep. My Sleep Number setting right now is a 50. I'm at a 50. It was at a 35. Bumped it up a little bit last night to a 50, and I love it. Carla, boring. 65.
Yawn.
Every night. Nyang, 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 nyang. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because to be your best every day, you need proven quality sleep every night. Discover special offers now for a limited time at your local Sleep Number store or at sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Get that right out to them, okay?
Yes.
Because that's from the ticker. That's from the ticker right here, ladies and gentlemen.
You're in a
cocoon
of sleep.
All right. Later on, remind me to tell you that I've also done my job for Oscar. I want to make sure everybody knows that.
Oh, good.
Too. Okay?
Yes.
Shut up.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know.
That really is terrific.
This is the homepage.
What's really terrific?
That you did it. You did all that stuff. That's terrific.
Shut up. God, I'm telling you all this. Shut up. Here's a question for an old movie. Older movie.
Yes.
Could Jack and Rose have both fit on that door at the end of Titanic?
That's of course. Yes.
It's the debate that'll never be settled, but it's completely irrelevant because there was no door.
I seen it.
Nope. During a recent panel discussion, James Cameron said, quote, "It's technically not a door. It's a piece of wood paneling from the first class cabin." Cameron has always insisted that the reason Jack and Rose couldn't both survive had nothing to do with there not being enough room on the piece of wood paneling. He says it couldn't have remained buoyant. He's such a dork.
He is a dork. I don't
like him. It couldn't have remained buoyant with both of them on it. They even did a forensic examination to settle the debate on an upcoming National Geographic special called Titanic 25 Years Later. That's going to air on February 5th, if you're interested in that show.
I've already set my DVR.
He won't say how it turned out, just that they, quote, came to some pretty hard and fast conclusions. So I thought that was interesting.
Poor Jack Dawson. You know what? I think he could have at least held on to the edge, right?
Yeah, but he still would have gotten the hypothermia that killed him.
They could have traded back and forth. Put Kate Winslet in the water for a while. Have her take
a shit.
Coulda,
woulda, shoulda. It's great to Monday morning quarter. You weren't on that boat, Rob. You were not on that boat. You know what I mean?
No, I was on the Lusitania. We made our destination.
Lusitania. Halftime of pretty much every football game ever, the announcers always say the team that's behind has to make some adjustments. But on the Manning cast during Monday Night Football, Peyton Manning called BS. He said, quote, "I don't know if I ever made a halftime adjustment in my entire 18-year career. I think that's the biggest myth in football, the halftime adjustments. You go in, you use the restroom, you eat a couple of oranges, and then the head coach says, all right, let's go." It's not him. It's not Peyton's job.
Yeah, isn't that?
It's the coach's job.
Yes.
Peyton.
You mallet head.
Oranges.
Right? Oscar, am I right about they
called
that?
They called him, what is it, the field general, or he would call all the plays. So he's comparing himself to the, he's deciding the plays. He's not giving.
Did he really? Did he decide all the plays?
He would. This is actually, you know, I'm not speaking out of school. He's known for calling a lot of the plays on the field.
Really?
Deciding what play he's going to choose of the options he has.
A lot of times he'd figure out the plays during halftime and sketch them on his forehead.
But the game scheme, think about even this past weekend's wild card games.
You are so not interested.
The wild card games, they were tail two halves every half.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, I think of being a Giants fan, I've always thought that they make adjustments at halftime, you know, but who knows?
I don't think the Giants eat oranges, though. They eat a piece of pizza.
Okay, thank you. God. Channing Tatum is planning a remake of Patrick Swayze's 1990 hit Ghost. His production company, Free Association, owns the right. In a profile for Vanity Fair, he said he'd play Patrick's role, quote, "but we're going to do something different. I think it needs to change a little bit." Channing also did a Vanity Fair lie detector test where he was asked if he thinks he's a better stripper than his Magic Mike co-star, Joe Manganiello. The one that's married to Sofia Vergara, right?
Right.
Here's his response. 100%. We're different classes of strippers. When you look in the dictionary next to the perfect specimen of a man, probably Joe is one of the bodies that pops up. He's kind of weirdly flawless. But as far as stripping goes, I would put myself above him dance-wise. Sorry, Joe. He also said he'd go harder than Jennifer Lopez. No, there it is.
I'd watch. All right. I'd watch. It's time for the remake.
It's not.
Oh.
No, it wasn't if really it time for the movie. If his way,
there would not be any remakes.
No.
Entertainment would stop.
What's that?
Entertainment would stop.
No, entertainment continues, but not remaking Ghost. For one thing, they won't have Vincent Schiavelli to play the scary ghost in the subway.
Oh, yeah. Get off my train!
Best part of the movie.
Get off of my train!
Yes.
Wow, that's true. That was spectacular. Way to pull the name. A new study figured out the best place to hide and take shelter if the nukes start falling.
Ditch.
Welcome to our world. Yeah, go in a ditch. Get low. Obviously, a bomb shelter is your best
helmet
bet.
And get in a ditch.
We don't have a handy bomb shelter around here. Assuming you don't have one, here's what they say. Ideally, you want to be inside a sturdy structure, not outside, and get to the corner of a room as fast as possible, specifically a corner facing the blast. This is scary. Researchers did a bunch of computer simulations to see what happens when the blast wave hits different types of buildings, and if you're too close, there's not much you can do. But if you're in the moderate damage zone, more than a mile or so away, you might have a chance. You guys wouldn't be in that zone if we got
attacked. In Washington, D.C., I feel pretty safe.
That's where the blast itself won't get you. They looked at how a nuclear blast wave moves through a building, and the worst places to be are in hallways.
Mm.
Seems like the guy with the tornado said that, too. Don't be in a hallway.
Yeah.
Doorways, also, don't be there or near windows. That's where the airspeed from the blast is highest. The best place to be is in the corner of a room facing the blast, but you only have a second or two, so be quick about it. God, a lot of
so the corner faces the blast.
Today.
That's where the right angle almost points to it, because I guess that would be the strength. But we're toast here. I mean, there's nothing we could
do.
The
closest fallout shelter from us is 4 blocks away at the International Monetary Fund.
But they wouldn't let you in there.
It's this public fallout shelter.
I would go in and say, "Hey, I got this. I got some money that needs sheltering."
The White House blocks is away. Technically closer, but they're not going to let us in.
The missiles are in the air, Mr. President. for the second time in a month, I'm going to go to the library out in Colorado. A Colorado library has been forced to close due to...
Yes?
Meth contamination.
Oh.
That's
scary. No.
That's weird. Oh, no. There's another Rob Speedwagon. Oh, no. This time, it was in the Denver suburb of Inglewood. The Associated Press says contamination in the city's library restrooms was found to exceed state thresholds last week. Wow.
Excuse me, ma'am. I checked out this book, and when I opened it, I found a tooth.
Meth is... I mean, every time we think it's people have seen enough teeth fall out...
No, it keeps coming.
This thing's, maybe it's because it's so cheap.
It is.
I think this is because there are people that are using the library restroom system. I think that's what it is.
Maybe they're speed reading.
I don't think reading has
now that's funnier than you think.
Oh, yeah. See, the lady says the use of the library has changed, said Marion. More people are coming to use it as a shelter. We're very accommodating, but there are some individuals who abuse this space and unfortunately put us in this position. So they're coming in with their drugs.
Yeah.
Doing
well,
their drugs,
if they open a Starbucks, they can go to the bathroom there.
There you go. You missed that. They still have that population down at the coffee shop down below, or what?
Well, we don't have a coffee shop down below.
You don't know because you're not there anymore.
And it was a crêperie when we left. Yeah.
Crêperie.
Yum. And now a little something something. A police department in Michigan is dealing with criminal activity inside the station, and the perp is allegedly one of their own. A few days ago, the Wyandotte, I probably missed that, Wyandotte.
I think Wyandotte? I think you got it right the first time.
The Wyandotte Police Department accused Officer Ice of stealing from another cop, Officer Barwig. Ice stole Barwig's lunch, and it's probably worth mentioning, Officer Ice is a police dog. In a playful post on its social media, the department said, "Stealing is not only a crime, but it is morally wrong, too. As a police officer, you're required to take an oath, including a promise to protect the person's property." According to the report, Officer Barwig was called out of the break room, leaving his half-eaten lunch on the table. When he returned, it was gone.
It was gone.
And he witnessed Ice licking his chops. And this isn't the first time that Ice has been accused of this. It's unclear what kind of disciplinary action Ice might be facing, but the department said they're considering Facebook followers' opinions on how to proceed with the investigation. So far, a lot of people are pointing out that the evidence sounds circumstantial. I vote no ball licking for a month. That's the second time we've had that with the dog Ice.
Ice,
baby. Yeah. Yes, very good. When we come back, lots to talk about on the show. The O'Mara Sick House.
I'd love Rob's to touch son. Base on your studio. Just a quick note.
Yeah.
Trying to avoid that, but I guess we will.
Thank you.
When we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. IKEA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Twitch. Will you be an angel for a helpless creature? It's a new year, and it's also a renewed chance to show you care. Do you have room in your heart this year? Do you have room in your home? Do you have room to adopt Jim Amato?
I won't take up much room.
For just pennies a day, Jim Amato can live comfortably in your home.
I'm almost completely housebroken.
Don't
Those
do it.
Those same almost. Pennies a day will bring you a year's worth of joy and laughter when you subscribe to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
I'll mow your lawn.
And remember, if you're cold, Jim Amato is cold.
I'm so cold.
Bring him inside with you, and thank you.
He's cold, you know.
He's cold.
Gotta be aware of that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Man, do I love this song. Rob Spiewak got to see this live.
Oh, it's so good.
That would have been so cool. One of my favorite, probably my favorite. This is my favorite Stevie song. Hey, a lot of us are stuck in our homes, offices, and our routines, wondering what else is out there, but feeling like it takes too much time and effort to explore. But now, you can discover it all with fun, fast, and foldable electric e-bikes. From quick errands to outdoor adventures, electric e-bikes will transform how you get around. They cost way less than the competition with quality, feature-filled models. Financed as low as $133 per month. Plus, electric e-bikes are foldable. They ship free, fully assembled. You'll be on the road in no time. A stronger rear rack supports everything you need for day-to-day rides or longer trips. Customizable your ride, or customize your ride, rather, with new accessories like the Elite Headlight or a passenger package that can hold riders up to 150 pounds or one Santos dog.
Baby boy.
Oscar's all over the district in his electric e-bike. Get out there and make this year your most adventurous one yet with electric e-bikes. Visit electricebikes.com to learn more. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Yeah, I did my job that my boss laid out for me to go measure my room.
It's your studio, right?
I did it. And then I also spent a good chunk of time with Oscar's favorite furniture store, where I will not be getting my table.
You don't like my IKEA?
Not for tables. No.
Oh, okay.
You found a nice table. I don't have any issues with your table. Shannon.
Did you like the table in the price point that I sent you?
I really like the table. And okay. I'm not joking.
Hi, Shannon.
She had a couple questions.
Queries.
For me?
Yeah.
Shannon.
How are you?
Great. How are you, Mike?
I am peachy. Always nice to have you on the show. Whoa, whoa. What can I do for you?
Thank you. It's always so nice to be on the show. Whoa, whoa. Okay. My question.
I appreciate it.
So there have been there have been reports that you would like to have like a new desk for a wide shot. And so I says to the guys,
Yeah.
The man refuses to be shot. Down.
Can't say that.
My goodness.
Are you talking about my shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be shot that. I mean, not all the time. I like this shot.
Yeah.
I like, this is what, so what's the problem?
Well, I heard it from you. You said that, because I've tried to get you to zoom out because you're very, very tight.
Nice.
And you said, excuse me,
could
you please mute this man? Okay. I got a lot to say, and I got to say it.
God, you do have a lot to say.
All right. So you don't have Dolly Parton, but that's what you said.
You can't say that.
You know what? I can say whatever I want. This show is edited.
She can say whatever she wants. This is
you're putting the onus on Pony, which isn't good.
That's what we do.
As long as I can stand it. All right, that's the shot. That, see, you guys have a wider shot.
Yeah, yes. Can you go out a little bit more?
But then
I don't
see
any nipples.
Stuff.
Do you want to?
I mean, I would love that, but there you go. Yeah. Okay.
You like that shot?
Yeah, I mean, we just need to like clean up what's around there, which I get that, but
yeah, that's where the size of the room
yeah,
comes
have
into
more
play.
Space.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, the angle of the shot, we would just work on the angle. Mm-hmm. Because I just don't know. You want to make sure that the camera is at eye level.
Yeah, we
will. Is
work
it?
On it.
It looks like it's like slightly above or
it is.
Below.
It is slightly
okay,
raised.
Slightly above. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I get
would
it.
Just bring it down a little.
I can
bit.
Probably do that. I can probably accomplish that.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Good. Are you talking about my show today? The shot today? Or are you?
No.
Talking
every
about
day.
For the future?
Every day. You're like.
Okay. All right.
If I thought that somebody in the control room could do this, I would go. Excuse me. Because mm-hmm. you're like this, and we cut your shot for social so that you're vertical, which means yeah. that what we end up having to do is zoom in on you because it's that's just the nature of the shot because of the dimensions, because we're going from 1920 by 1080.
All right, so I'll leave my drum set, that little drum set over there in the shot today. How's that? Is that better?
What's the drum shot have to? What's the drums have to do with anything? Sorry,
well, it's back there. Just because when I widen out, you see a lot of the crap that's in back of me. You know, that's what I was concerned about.
I actually wouldn't even be worried about that stuff. Okay. In the past, you told me it was because you didn't want anybody to see your nipples because
yes.
of your dog part and.
I'm.
You got that time code, pound bone. You're welcome.
I hope
Thank
so.
You. That's the third, fourth time she said.
Yes, it is.
No, that was like
great,
the second.
It was the third.
Okay, cool. But the stuff in your background, I think that actually just it goes to the vibe of the show.
Okay.
So it's like radio. That
All right.
right.
Well,
to
if,
me,
if
that
I
just
go
looks
wide
like radio.
Out, if I go wide out that. Here, you can see.
Don't touch me.
Did you write down the time code? I just dropped an S-bomb.
I don't have.
Oh, nice. I love it.
Yeah. By the way, look at those guns.
Yeah.
All right. Oscar, do you have your tickets?
Yeah,
to the gun show.
I mean, yeah, he does.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You almost got it.
All right. All right. That's cool.
I love you.
Do you want to?
Shannon in the morning. Shannon. WQXI.
Played her out.
She can come on anytime.
No, just go. Go.
I love
you. Go. Time and place.
Jeez. That's wonderful. All right. So what that does that you she wasn't here to I thought she was going to come in and talk about the new studio. And
No, this came from the new studio
yeah.
where the conversation was we actually care about you off air, Mike. So I was mapping out some tentative sketches of what the room could look like.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
she said
a lot more space in there.
Yeah, and I said there's so much more space and we can shoot him with some depth and some the right lighting.
Yeah.
And she says, "Why are you bothering? He won't let you shoot him down."
Now you're saying it.
And I said, "Well, we'll talk to him. He'll understand."
No, I get it. But the thing is, I did my job today, and it really is almost. Would you agree, Oscar? Almost a
comprehensive,
square room. Almost a
detailed
you know, garage.
He gave me the water
garage.
Heater.
Mm-hmm. Did he do inches or feet or how did he do it?
He gave me inches. I appreciate
I did both.
That.
Nice
inches
both.
And feet.
That was very detailed. And then the only anomaly in that room is the water heater platform.
Yeah.
It's about 2x2. And then a 2-foot step that comes out to the door.
And I appreciate you calling it a water
heater,
Mike.
I didn't account for the refrigerator.
So I'm going to bring in one of our set designers, Chris Jones, into the
Unto
Our
Conversation. Former talking head.
Yes.
Great guy.
That helps build our sets here as well to see what his approach would be, and we can compare notes. But the table you sent over was viable. I liked it.
I liked it too. And they're not easy to find.
No.
Especially with a hollow center
that has
an pedestal, overhang.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That you with that I think I would assume it. Of course it's hollow. It's
that center
solid.
Isn't hollow.
That you can put cabling, which
definitely,
makes it
definitely
fantastic.
Not hollow, but we can drill a hole underneath to push through.
Yeah. I so think that's very, yeah. very cool.
But it's not like, IKEA.
There's like, no.
Okay.
No, the price is
no,
not
No, I really
IKEA.
Looked hard. A lot of round tables with legs, which is the big thing.
No, you can't
I
have a pedestal table,
and I think,
yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be fun, and it'll be a neat project. And as far as I'm concerned, my job is over, you have the info you need.
Yes.
Now it's just a question of timetable.
Bookcases.
Oh, well, see, technically my job is not over.
What?
This thing, I kick it to you in totality.
Yes.
Once I find out about the air out there and
correct.
How that's going to work.
I will
and
not then I'll order anything until yours. The air is put in.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can get that done.
And you're going to do the thing like they do in casinos where they pump in extra oxygen, right?
Yes, absolutely. So for survivability. No, I don't think so, Rob.
Stay
I think
extra
I'm just going
to
have, I'm going to stay like I have on this show with the tank.
Just like a Vegas bar.
He seems so blotchy. Seems so.
I feel like Casper again today.
Would you really consider having an island theme? Somebody was throwing that idea since you're in Florida and maybe like a hammock in back of you.
Oh, like with a whole kind of a Tommy Bahama?
Yeah.
Oh my God, no. We have to take a break right now. But thank
Tommy
you for
Bahama,
the suggestion.
Friend of the fat man.
I appreciate that. We'll talk about, we will talk about Rob's son.
Good.
When we return. On the Mike O'Mara Show, because he has one, if you're not aware of that fact.
Yes, I fathered him.
Yeah, I don't like my boobs. I'm going to lean forward.
Thank you for saying boobs.
We'll be right back.
Order!
Had a great drive to school with my kid who was talking about Harvard. Said he wants to be a lawyer.
Dad, I think I want to be a lawyer. I said, why is that? He said, because I like to argue.
He could be, you know what? Kid lawyer.
Your Honor, I object.
I'll allow it.
Have you been hurt on a podcast? It's no time to play grab ass, fella. It's time to get tough and call the law offices of Michael William O'Mara, kid attorney.
So an Irishman walks into a pub.
O'Mara is on the case and you'll get the money you deserve. The Mike O'Mara bonus show is so funny, it should be illegal. Get a bonus show subscription today through the link at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Michael William O'Mara, kid attorney.
Oh yeah, it's driving me nuts.
He knows all about the birds and the bees, but it's his opponents in the courtroom who are really
you can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Hey Rob, you know that that new advertiser that you told
yes.
me about?
Mm-hmm.
And you took the information. I got the stuff and I'm pretty like amazingly jacked.
I am too. I'm using both of them today, as a matter of fact.
That bums me out. I wish it was just me. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. What's the first thing
I'm
you
not
do?
Really using it, Mike. They didn't
That's,
send me anything.
No, it's just of course you are. What's the first thing you do when who does the promos? You know, I give him
we
don't
all
need
got,
to give him.
We all need to.
What's the first you do when you wake up? Yeah, that's selfish, isn't it? That's like naked selfishness. I really feel that way, though. Is it checking up on your credit score? I'm going to start again.
Not surprised.
What's the first thing you do? I made myself laugh.
What's the first thing I do when I get up in the morning? I make sure my friends don't have anything.
Don and Mike eat first.
Hey everybody, what's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? Ha ha, I didn't think so,
you know robot.
But at Chime, that's exactly what they do. With their secure Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start to build credit with your own money. Chime reports your payments to credit bureaus to help you build credit over time. Their members see an increase of 30 points on average. All of this with no annual fees, no large security deposits, or any credit checks. To apply, that's it. They don't check anything. Get your credit back. Get your credit built back up, people.
You're coming back with your credit.
So start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at Chime.com/TMOS. That's Chime.com/TMOS. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA. Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secure Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive effect on your credit score. Impact a score may vary, and some users' scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply, except at MoneyPass ATMs and a 7-Eleven or any Allpoint Visa or Visa Plus Alliance ATMs. There it is. Welcome back to the show. Whoa. No, I'm excited because you know what? It was years ago Oscar was saying you got that big old man wallet.
Yeah, the Costanza wallet.
Yeah.
We have a new wallet company coming
Stay
out.
Stay tuned.
You're going to really dig
yes.
it. Used it yesterday in real time at Costco.
Very cool.
I was going to find out that a beef tenderloin was $93.
Oh, I would love to discuss that because the same beef tenderloin in California. I went with my brother this this
Christmas.
But it wasn't a Whole Foods. It was something else that was really expensive. I forget what it's called. And
Gelson's.
I saw that it was $36 a pound, and because I didn't process it, I said, "Oh, it's $36. It's expensive."
It's insane.
And then he put what we were buying on the scale, and it was $198
per pound. Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
And here's the weird
thing
about
beef. I think I spent $150 on my tenderloin for Christmas. I think.
Oh, see, the tenderloin is in it. I went to the Publix.
Yeah.
And I bought a big rib roast for the fam, and it was like $63.
Yeah.
How much?
God. But that's compared to what the Costco. There, it's all right. So I got to use my hands.
Please.
So it's a tenderloin. You know the ones they sell whole.
The whole tenderloin.
Looks like an arm. Yeah.
This $96.
Mm-hmm.
I put it back. I'm not buying that. Yeah. I'm not buying that for the family. I mean, it's crazy. I think it had. Did the cuts have something to do with it or what? I don't know.
I don't know either. But it is. It's definitely escalating, and it's become a special occasion food. It's not something you can. You can't just buy a good hunk of beef.
What did it cost before the pandemic?
I would say it's gone up by about a third.
Yeah, I think it's definitely gone up.
So
by,
you could buy a beef tenderloin for a family.
Or at least
the long guy. The long guy for
maybe 25-30%.
$100.
Yeah, under that.
And now the one we got that we used to get for about $100 was 188, 189.
Yeah, and that's if you use cow.
Almost double.
That's if you use cow meat. Horse is cheaper. But
boy, down here though, and I know I'm not going to ring. I really try to ring the bell of not ring the Florida bell as often as I used to with everything I hate down here about that. But man, that effing beef section with every f***ing Midwestern
when you getting back
staring at it like what, make a call, pick it up, get what you want, and get the hell out of the way. You know it's red. You know, God,
it's red.
That.
They should have a sign up like that at the butcher.
Yeah,
it's red.
It's weird. All right, let's talk about your son.
Okay, he's not eating any tenderloin up at the University of West Virginia, WVU. But I will tell you this.
Would you really know what he's eating?
Well, after our trip to Costco over the weekend, I have a pretty good idea.
Now you know.
Now I know. But
he's got the good genes, right? I mean, he's fine with, he's still lean and tall.
Oh
right?
My God, yeah. He's a rail.
He doesn't
rail.
Have a lot of body fat.
No, he's a rail, and he is a
my kid has to
6 foot I'm, five I'm, now.
We're aware of Michael already, making, you know, even at 9 years old, just saying there's certain things, you know, the video gaming.
Yeah, it's not good for
not
it.
Not conducive to being in shape.
Well, maybe he's got the Carla fast twitch muscles, but he's got the Mike epidermis.
He's got the Carla fast twitch muscles and the Mike butter your donuts body.
Oh dear.
He's going to be a great football player.
Yeah,
he's going to be if he works out and does that, he'll be an Adonis.
Yeah. Yeah. And right? When Robert hasn't had time to work out lately, but when he works out, he also muscles up. He's pretty amazing.
But does
kid.
He? So you say he eats badly. Is that the point you're trying
to
make?
Well, he eats like a college kid. I know this because people that have expressed concern, he was able with one of his fraternity brothers, once they closed the house down, they got an apartment and it's got an amazing deal. It's a nice place. I've seen photographs of it. I've actually driven to this apartment complex before. Because he had a friend there that he had to drop something off when we were up at WVU.
Close to campus.
He even has a parking space, a reserved parking space, which is like gold up there.
In school? Absolutely.
Yeah. So he called me. He said, "Dad, when you move into a place like this, you just never think of what you need." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "I'm coming home this weekend. We're going to need to get some stuff." I said, "Well, what specifically do you need?" He says, "Well, I had a frozen pizza for dinner last night, and I had to cut it with scissors."
At least you found a way.
Yeah. I said, we'll get you a pizza cutter, son. So funny.
I had a frozen pizza.
So we walked the... well,
I thought he was going to need the oven, so I was relieved.
He knows how to bake. He knows how to do that. Right. So we... one of the main reasons he came home is he had to get his bowling ball drilled. And so we went to a place in Sterling.
Hold it. Stop. Okay. Questions.
Yes.
So is he bowling up there?
Not up there. Here. His crew at home, and they tend to all, you know, descend at the same time, holidays and spring break and all that stuff. They love to go bowling.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that.
Because
That's
of that,
cool.
My mom got him a beautiful bowling ball for Christmas, and my wife got him bowling shoes. Neither one of them got him a bowling bag. And I said, son, you're going to need a bowling bag because you can't just like walk into the alley.
You can't walk in holding the ball and the shoes.
You can't. So I found a place in Sterling, and it's called...
Yeah, that's where we got ours.
Yes.
Remember?
And it was called...
Did you go to the same joint?
This is not the same joint we went to. The one I think we went to might have been in Manassas, actually.
I don't know. I think it was Sterling, Rob.
Because for a while, each of us had two full sets of bowling paraphernalia.
Semi-industrial location?
No, this is a new place in a strip mall. And it's right behind $1.99 cleaners, Mike. Zip cleaners.
You all have to rewind
it's
for a second.
It's called Off 7 Bowling Supply.
And why would you buy your own bowling ball?
No, we traded them out because we had bowling team for the Mike O'Mara show that we would compete against
the
New
gutter
York
balls.
Listeners.
I remember that.
Yeah,
I was a
and
listener.
DC listeners.
Yeah.
My my gutter ball name was Paxel.
Mine was Head. Or The Head. I had two shirts. Head. Julia stole both the bowling shirts. She loved them. Because we had really nice bowling shirts. However,
I think I threw mine out.
I think my wife sold both of my bowling balls.
So I think mine are gone too.
So what do they cost?
A bowling ball costs roundabout, it depends if you want to get like a cheap one, like $88-$90. If you want to get one that hooks, it starts at about $110.
Jesus.
So
they've held the line on the prices of bowling balls.
Pretty much. It's a static thing, Mike. The supply chain hasn't been affected.
If you jam a beef tenderloin in there,
it's very expensive.
Bowling ball can cost you up to $300.
So we go to this place to get the ball drilled, and I start thinking about how much fun it would be to go bowling with him. So I end up, of course, buying a bowling ball too.
Oh, why not?
And two bags and everything. So we're all set. He says,
I should send Carl up there because Carl has been on me to go bowling forever.
And Mike, it was so wild after I got the ball back drilled to my hand, how different of a feeling it is than picking up an alley ball because it fits your hand exactly.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And that's why.
And also,
I wasn't even putting it together. I was like, is it a germ thing?
No. And when also the perfect weight, Robert's rolling with a 12. I'm rolling with a 15 now. And he says, when he drills it, he hands it to Robert. He says, smell it. And Robert looks at me like, huh?
Can I smell it, Pops?
Yeah, go ahead and smell it. But no, the bowling balls that we bought have a vanilla scent.
Really?
Yes. Very nice. Very, very nice.
Man, oh man, that's a little crazy.
Do you still rent the shoes?
No, we bought shoes as well, Dexter's. Oh. So we're all
this
set
is like
as
the
far as
father-son outing I've ever
New
seen.
England company. Yeah.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah. So it was an excellent outing, and I said, Robert, when we go to get your ball drilled, I bet you $1 the guy comments on your hand, and he says, why would he comment on my hand? And I said, just that's what this guy does. He drills and measures hands all day. I bet he makes small talk about your hand. He's not going to do that. And so he has Robert in the blocks and he's moving stuff around. And it's like
this sounds so creepy.
Movable things and movable size holds. And he says,
you got big hands, son.
He says, wow. And Robert says, what? He says, you have the second largest span of any man I've ever measured.
Yeah. Wow. So he could have been a quarterback.
Probably.
Or he's
probably.
Just hitting on him.
He said, any bigger than this, you could probably palm the bowling ball. And so he said, that's great.
Just like you can palm my
Stop it. God.
So he's got a big meat hook. Huh?
Yes, he does. And so as we were doing this, and I said, I'm going to get
Davidson
one too.
I was always wondering why the ladies throw themselves at your son.
Yeah, it must be from the other side of the family somehow. Recessive gene. So when I decide to get the bowling ball, his is green. I get the red one. It's the same. And he's measuring. He says, weird. I said, what? He says, same span as your son. You've got the same hand. And
yeah, hold that meat hook up. Hold that hand.
Huge.
Look at that hand.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that thing.
So I think that's pretty cool that we had the exact. He says, but your fingers are thicker. I said, thanks a lot.
And really? Said, even with all the weight loss?
Yeah.
Your fingers
and
are
thicker?
And
then he also said, and he's making small talk, he says, will you be enjoying any adult beverages when you go bowling? I said, not anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Why did he say that? On these guys?
Because I think that, you know, that's sort of the whole deal about, you know, going bowling and getting a few beers. And
is that what Robert does with his pals?
No, because he's not of age yet. So he doesn't
drink. He's 20.
Yeah. Right. So he'll he'll start drinking heavy in September, I'm sure.
Or maybe not at all, if you can have anything to say.
Have you had a pep talk with him and said, hey, like there are genes in our family and traits?
Yeah. All I know is I told him, I said, you got to be careful. And then when he packed up his stuff to move to his new apartment, there was a missing case of Miller Lite from the fridge downstairs. Hmm. So, you know, I said, all right, so you stole beer from me. Please be careful. Please don't get caught. Please be responsible.
No, he didn't steal beer from you. I mean,
yeah, he did.
Right?
Yeah, he did.
Why would you have
like
beer
recently,
in the house?
Recently, you don't have beer.
No, I keep Miller Lite in the house for my mom. Because that's what she likes, and I'm not going to drink Miller Lite.
The kids like I can't do this. Yeah, I want to be nice to you. During one segment, I want to be nice to you. All right. God.
No, I mean, I'm not going to prevent other people from drinking if they want to drink.
Why?
Not everyone is going to be irresponsible like me.
Okay. All right. Fine. Fine.
And besides, I'm not gonna, everything's great.
I have no words.
Jesus Christ! Everything's great. We'll be right back.
Joe Paisan Paulie. I know it's been a long time since you heard from me, but the boss sent out a proclamation that we all have to listen to. Now he wants you to share the show. That means
opera.
Let your friends
listen
tell
to the
their
singers.
Friends and their other friends that the Michael Mara Show is on the air. And they can go to TMOS.com to check out the bonus show. And they can go on the TikTok and the Instagram for snippets of the show. Do it today. The boss asked you. And let your friends be a friend of ours. Capiche? We now return you to the man, the myth, the legend, Mike O'Mara.
I don't hear the promo when he's talking.
No, it's like a nightmare, isn't it?
Opera singers. Yeah. It is fantastic. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, that turning into your parents might be your worst nightmare, but let's be real. Their weed might have been the best stuff out there.
Yes.
Well, Dadgrass has old school joints that are low in THC and high in CBD. So you can chill out and lighten up the old fashioned way.
Mm.
Dadgrass is legal. It's organic smokable hemp that relaxes your body and it mellows your mind, man.
Man.
And if you want the toke without the smoke, let me tell you about this. Dadgrass also has CBD gummies made with the same high-quality hemp. They're delicious. They're easy to dose. Excuse me.
Oh.
And the effects come on smooth. Chill out without getting stoned. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 21 and over. And ship right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order. When you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS, go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS. Groovy. Didn't get to these things on the show. I want to talk about them tomorrow on the show. I want to talk about George Santos.
Yes.
And whether he would survive in any other profession. And I want to talk about Keith Morrison and Dateline. And
tomorrow.
And the absolute pure exploitation of murder.
Mike,
we'll do that. Yes.
Briefly. That will I can't wait to talk about that tomorrow. How did you know that he stole beer?
Because it was a sealed case.
Yeah, but how did you know if the beer is for guests?
Right.
How did you know there was beer missing if you're not going to that fridge?
No, because it's a fridge that I go to because I keep also water in it.
Oh. Okay.
And there was a case, a cardboard case of beer.
I just said my beer, and it really concerns me.
I know the answer. Yeah.
What's that?
He's drinking again. Sound Town.
We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
Mike, moderation and everything. One other thing about Robert that was great is that because he had so much stuff to get up to his apartment, mm-hmm. including a TV stand, we had to really cubically pack the Jetta and like fold seats down and put stuff in a certain order.
Yeah, Jetta's not a Suburban. You know?
No. And so we got everything in there. I mean, power, like a crock pot, mm-hmm. an air fryer, everything. TV stand, huge. And he goes into the house, and this is the quote to Carrie. He says, "Hey, Mom, you know how Dad's bad at a lot of things? He's really good at packing up cars."
So they're rooting for you.
Yeah.
That's good. See, that's a skill, too. That, by the way,
I'm amazing at it.
This is just strange. Yesterday, we're at the box store, right? Didn't buy a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Wanted to get some protein bars and
you were at the cost. Was it Cost Company?
The Cost Company. And my son starts assisting me, and there's just a small number of items. And I said, okay, we've paid for those now. He scans them, and then he puts them back in the cart. And he does it in this, like, geometric way that was just, like, perfection. And it was just a little observance that I noticed with my kid. You just see weird
yell
things
at him next time if he doesn't put cold things together. You say, you always group cold things together.
I will get right on that.
Thank you.
I will get
that's
right.
How you
absolutely
do it.
Rob. I'll
Mike,
the eggs.
I know what we need to do is cleanse our palate. I know there's been a lot of talk about our president and the way he handles classified documents. What we need is a parody song.
Classified documents.
You got,
that's funny.
Mike, you got the actual essence of the song, and yep. Then you blew it up.
I have to move. When you do, Rob doesn't warn me when that's coming, so I got to jump right to it to get my ordinance, you know, ready to go with that. You know, you want to hear it again? Listen to this. I'll do it again for you.
One more song. Here we go.
Classified.
Even less that time.
Thank you.
Oscar sent this because, Mike, it's not birthday season yet, but it is Tom Hanks season because of the release of the
movie
A Man Called Otto. I believe it's out. I think
it's out in theaters.
What's the movie he did where he fell in love with Julia Roberts at the community college? What was that? Because this looks exactly the same as that.
Well, he's a bitter widower in this one. It's an acting movie. And because of that, he's doing every talk show and, you know, just popping up and being Tom Hanks. This is funny, though, because back when I liked Tom Hanks, he was on a show called Bosom Buddies. And I thought Bosom Buddies, despite the fact that they dressed in drag, was a pretty funny show.
Well,
and
Tom Hanks was at his, you know, cutting his teeth, being a super funny guy.
And so this is him talking about when they found out Bosom Buddies probably was doomed.
The cover of TV Guide was something that all your publicists were fighting for.
Oh, yeah.
Get your show. Isn't that white, Whitney?
Yeah.
Yes. Get your show on the cover of TV Guide and all will be well. Well, we were on TV already for about 4 weeks, and then this thing comes on CBS Thursday nights at 8 o'clock about a good looking cop with a mustache driving a Ferrari and flying a helicopter in Hawaii. Magnum P.I.
Oh.
It's not even on TV yet. And Magnum P.I. and Tom Selleck is on the cover of TV Guide. And Peter and I, we just looked at each other. We had this word communicate between our brains. Toast. We are toast.
Which is amazing because people should know the only reason CBS greenlit Magnum P.I., they created the show so they could use the abandoned production facilities from
Hawaii
5-0. That's right. Yep. It was CBS saving money is why they did Magnum P.I. and they ended up with a massive hit. Now, Madonna went crazy on social media yesterday by posting a video of her playing Truth or Dare with some of her famous friends.
Okay.
Here she is being dared to kiss Jack Black.
Truth or Dare?
Dare.
Whoa. I want you to tongue kiss Jack Black.
Okay.
I want it.
You want it all way?
I am a different man.
Yeah, I'm also a different man.
But the real reason she did the Truth or Dare video is she gets this from Amy Schumer.
Madonna, I dare you to do a world tour and play your greatest hits.
Okay, so the answer is
yeah.
80s.
So she's promoting
90s,
a world tour?
Yeah, this summer.
4 decades of music avec moi. ML. DC. Welcome to the party, bitches.
So she'll be, for DC people, she'll be at Capital One Arena in September. I would love to go.
You and I.
Yeah, Oscar and I'll have
no
a date
else.
There, yeah.
I wonder if she'd come down to, she'll do Miami. She won't do Fort Myers.
Well, only if she wants to visit people that are the same age as her.
With the same plastic surgery.
Vogue. She doesn't look the same. And also, there was a lot of filters on this video. I don't know. What happened to her eyebrows? Did they
got, you know, that kind. You go past the point of no return on plastic surgery. It gets crazy. It gets absolutely crazy. And then that one surgery too many happens, and you become
the cat
unrecognizable.
Lady.
Don't just stand there. Let's get to it. Strike a pose. There's nothing to it.
You remember the trivia for I took her lead dancer.
Yes.
On the Vogue tour. That's a long time ago.
It is.
Drove her to the hotel. Was thinking, you know, come on in. Never happened.
Though. She has the same lead dancer now.
Her name, I remember. Do you remember the name of the lead dancer?
Wasn't it Doreen? I don't know. What was it?
Donna DeLore.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a name that you actually hear.
Nice pull.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. So,
in
anyway.
My car with me. Hi, baby.
Did you have a Ford Fiesta?
No. This is when you had a car phone. Oh. Right?
Even my Acura.
Didn't you have an ancient car phone in that car?
I don't know. It's so long ago.
The kind with the little antenna on the back.
Just a quick callback because I did the work. I have to read it.
Yes, please.
Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts in Larry Crown.
Larry Crown.
Yes.
This movie that's out now looks Larry Crownish.
Well, that's high praise. I think they should put that on the poster. Mike O'Mara says looks Larry Crownish.
Larry Crownish. That's my rave for.
So the two concert tours that I want to see so far this summer are Madonna and Oscar.
Let's do it.
Be a great day.
Just two men.
Madonna.
And also a farewell tour. I would like to see Kenny Loggins live. And he's doing a farewell tour this summer. Would you go see Kenny Loggins?
I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I'm all right.
Not a lot of wrinkles on either one of those stages.
I'll go to a ball game.
You go to a ball game. Okay, and Mike, let's close with this. Someone saw something most peculiar in Australia. In the car with another person was a miniature horse named Rocco.
Is that a horse in your car?
He's excited for his ice cream.
Oh my God.
That's Rocco.
Hi, Rocco.
So they took Rocco.
Rocco.
The most surprising thing is that they went to McDonald's. Not that there was a horse in the car, but the ice cream machine was working. You never see that.
We actually have our ice cream working. Would you like a cone?
Rocco.
Would you like an ice cream cone? You in? We want an ice cream. Have a nice ice cream cone.
Rocco's going to go see Madonna.
Hey, we want to thank Matthew Cappucci, Fox 5's Matthew Cappucci, meteorologist, storm chaser. Matthew's book is Looking Up, The True Adventures of a Storm-Chasing Weather Nerd. That was a nice pull, Rob. It was nice talking to that guy, and you know he's going to go places.
Yes.
You know, with the boy wonder is what I would call that guy.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow to talk about George Santos and, you know, dig up even more dirt. You know,
actually, Mike, George Santos is going to be on the show tomorrow.
That's a very
I'm lying.
Yeah, naked.
That's the ticket.
Yeah.
We'll be back with a brand new one for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Oh, Bunty.
Man said if you didn't leave, we'd bury you here. Fine, we'll leave. I don't want you to leave. I want you to dig.
I think I just wet myself.